the show was just, I mean, magnificent.
Enjoyed it?
Yeah. My wife and I just had an absolute blast. And I think it's one of the best nights out I've had in a long time.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you very much. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, and all of y'all have such powerful voices, too. Really strong cast.
Yeah, thank you. It's kind of like they really put you through your paces in the auditions because, they've put together a grueling score. But, no, it's great. You know, as a singer in musical theatre nowadays, you rarely get, like, especially as a young guy, you rarely get such incredible music that you get where the songs are like massive power ballads or show-stopping numbers, yet they still are full of comedy and still like progress the story on. Like, I think, in my opinion, it's the music that makes the show what it is, because, you know, apparently they wrote the songs first, and, you know, in the real traditional musical theatre format, they write the music first and then kind of piece it all together with genius script, and that's what makes the show what it is, I think, the music.
Yeah, everything is, there's momentum throughout the whole show.
And if you kind of look through the script as well, all the scenes, they are really punchy, they're to the point, and they're so short, it's like, oh, and there's another number, and there's another number, because that's what keeps the momentum going. And because they're so good at telling the story and progressing it forward through music, it doesn't matter that it's just more or less song after song after song. It's amazing.
You know, some of the themes of the musical, too, I think were very interesting, and you know, at one point in Act One, Joseph Smith's character says, and he's talking about how he's been given these, golden tablets. And that he's been asked by the angel not to show them to anybody. Mm-hmm. And he says, they'll just have to believe it just because.
Yeah.
I guess that's kind of what you were going for. And to me, that really says something about faith, actually.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, for me, the whole story at the end is like, the moral of it all is, it doesn't matter who you are, what you believe in. If what you believe in makes you a better person and makes you happier and more content, then do it. You know, this, a lot of people are kind of surprised that the message of this show is not actually this, that we, you know, that we're slagging off Mormons and, you know, that we're mocking things. Everything in general is mocked in the show, but the actual message at the end is just celebrating faith. It's a really kind of touching story, which you really don't expect with this show, I think.
You know, we all grow up with our own elders, whether they be an elder.
I didn't, because I'm British, so it's a complete new thing for me.
Well, I guess what I'm getting at here is that we grow up with our parents and with people that we know, authority figures above us.
Okay.
So we have either religious teachings when we grow up, or we don't have religious teachings in some regard. And I'm wondering, how were you raised, and how did that affect the way you approach the material?
It's a good question. I was raised Christian, Presbyterian chapel, and I speak Welsh. On my dad's side of the family are Welsh, so it was very much sort of a done thing that everyone in the village goes to this Welsh chapel, and we all kind of. And for me, it was, hands up, it was less about the faith. It was more about the opportunity to perform and, you know, to sing in the Christmas concerts and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, I, you know, when I go home, I still go to church with my mom and things. But I mean, as far as my religious kind of views are concerned, I think I'm naturally a bit more Buddhist than anything. But I don't practice anything really. But yeah, I was definitely raised Christian.
Mm-hmm. And did that, I mean, you know, did that, when you do you think on that, do you think about faith when you look at the whole of a show, of this show, I guess?
Yeah, I think it helped that I was kind of immersed into that world as a child, you know, kind of seeing that a community comes together, and, you know, whether it be once a week or however often you meet in the congregation, it's a celebration of unity. And I think when we were performing the Book of Mormon in Rochester, we all went to Palmyra, which is where they do the annual Hill Cumorah pageant and stuff. And for me, especially because all of my research and all of my knowledge of the Book of Mormon came from Wikipedia and from the script and doing my research online and kind of really investing in it that way, because as a British guy, it wasn't as familiar as it would be, because it's a very American, American-founded religion. It was really fascinating then to actually meet these genuinely amazing, happy people that, you know, were on their two-year missions in Rochester, and to kind of ask them the questions and can kind of see that although the way that we portray the characters in the Book of Mormon are very sort of heightened, happy, these happy-go-lucky people who have no care in the world, it was nice to see that they genuinely are these people, and, you know, they are real people. And I almost envied how content they were in their lives, because, you know, I was just thinking that at first I thought, oh, it's very, very sheltered, their sort of upbringing. But if you can kind of go from day to day being genuinely, genuinely happy and content, I was like, that's amazing. And a lot of people tend to look at Mormonism and kind of, they're either quite skeptical or have their own views and opinions of it. And yeah, the show kind of highlights some of the comedy by doing it that way. But it's a fascinating religion to me. And I think that, you know, all the people that I've met, even, you know, we have a lot of people who are Mormon who come to watch the show. And they absolutely love the show because, as I said, it celebrates faith. And they like all the in-jokes that a lot of people might not actually get because they don't have that wealth of knowledge. But they, you know, they are absolutely inspiring people. It's, as I said, it's a fascinating religion that I've learned a lot about over the last year.
Do you find over the course of the tour that different parts of the country react differently?
That's the amazing thing about being on the First National Tour is, I mean, for me, getting to see, you know, so many parts of America. I think in the last 9 months, I've seen 16 different states, which is amazing. It's more than most Americans, I think, probably. But yeah, the reactions, it keeps us on our toes. It's so different, not only state to state, but city to city. And it's, you know, it's really, really great to see that. I play opposite Christopher John O'Neill, who plays Elder Cunningham, and we have a really good kind of relationship on and off stage. We are kind of constantly analysing things. Okay, we're trying to break it down, then maybe slightly less sort of partial to the racial comments, and or they really like sort of a bit more obvious humour here and stuff. But I think it's definitely, you know, and not only the audience reactions, but playing to different size houses. You know, we go from playing maybe like a 2,000 seater to, I mean, when we were in St. Louis, the Fox Theater in St. Louis is beautiful, but it holds like 4,300. And so, you know, playing this, which was originally done at the Eugene O'Neill on Broadway, to, you know, I think it's 1,200 seater, trying to kind of enhance your performance to make it really big to fit that space was another challenge. So I really like it. It's a real sort of, I mean, this tour is going ridiculously quickly, because I think we're constantly we're, you know, kept on our toes.
You know, I spoke to a couple of the actors after the show, and I was asking a few of them, because you talked about just now about how the tour goes and goes and goes, and when you're on a tour and you're in a performance and you're having a grand time, maybe this is something that you don't even think about right this second, but how do you know when you think, you know what, I've enjoyed doing this, it's time for me to look for another role?
Because you could
go on for quite some time doing
things. Work differently over here to how I'm used to in the UK as well. This is my first time working in America. And when you work in the UK, you are given a set contract of a year, mm-hmm. as an example. And when you get to the end of that year, if the show is going to continue, if it's a long-running show, they will either ask you to stay or, you know, not renew your contract, whatever. But you also have the choice. But you don't. It's either stay for another year or leave. Whereas here, I mean, it's different for the principals. But as ensemble members, you can give 4 weeks' notice at any point. So I think people have less of an urgency to get out because they know that they can. Mm-hmm. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I extend, you know, kind of 6 month contract after 6 month contract. But it's just been amazing. You know, I didn't know what to expect, how I was going to handle the pressures of the role, being so far away from my home and my, you know, support unit around me. But it's been incredible. And, you know, the Book of Mormon as a company are probably the most supportive company that I've worked for. The management, they know how to run an incredible show on and off stage. You know, their casting and all that sort of stuff is great, but also their management skills and looking after us on the road. We have great company management, and that really makes a difference. So I think when you are so far away from home, whether I'm, you know, British or all the people in America, there's so many people in the cast who have not actually been to their homes for the last, well, year really, because they've been so far away. And I think it really, you become much closer as a unit. I think that the whole of our cast and our company in general is like a family on the road, which is really important.
I understand that you have an album in Welsh that's in
bilingual,
yeah. And it's in kind of an autobiographical release. Tell me about that.
Oh, you've done your research. It was 2011. As I said, I speak Welsh. All my dad's side of the family are Welsh, so I've kind of almost like a separate career in Wales, as it were. So my debut album, I wanted it to be really personal, and it was through a Welsh record label, Sign Records. They said that they wanted it to be completely bilingual, so there's 6 Welsh tracks and 6 English tracks on it. It's called The Journey Home because it's semi-autobiographical, as you said. It kind of describes how this farmer's son from a farm in the middle of the hills in North Wales kind of went to start working on stuff in the West End. And that's kind of a very loose theme. I just wanted it to, basically, an easier way to pick songs, so they were a bit more personal to me than picking random music. And then off the success of that and the reaction to that, we then released a second version, which is the deluxe version, where we translated all the Welsh songs to English. There's 2 versions out there. I'm really pleased with them, actually. I'm really pleased with the reaction. And as I said, as a debut album, for it to be so personal, there was a lot of hard work and effort went in. So, I'm happy that people seem to be enjoying listening to it.
Good. What are you most looking forward to doing while you're here in this time here in San Antonio?
San Antonio, we were just chatting about things to do while we're here. I've got a friend visiting from Wales on Sunday, actually, for 6 days. So I'm kind of saving all the things that I've been told to do until he gets here. But obviously we're doing the river walk, and we're thinking of maybe going and kind of getting a real Texas experience. I was just chatting about going to Green.
Oh, great.
On Monday.
Yeah.
So we can kind of get a different sort of side to San Antonio. But that's the great thing about being on tour, is that not only do we get to play in these amazing theatres that I'm loving seeing, we also get, you know, a little taste of every city and state that we go to. I fell in love with the Riverwalk here, you know, on our first day. I don't know whether it was because the margaritas we were having were amazing, but I do think, you know, it's almost like a little Venice in the middle of Texas. And, you know, it's really, really great. Having never been to Texas before, we played Dallas like 2 stops ago, and then we were in Houston last week, and now to be in San Antonio, and then we move on to Austin. And I think all 4 cities are similar, but they're all very, very different. And it's amazing. When would I have time in my career to come over from the UK to vacation in these 4 cities in Texas? It's just an amazing way to do this show, do this role, but also see America.
Well, that brings up one last question then here. So when people go see the Book of Mormon, obviously there are many jokes, as you said, that play off of stereotypes or play off of things you've heard about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So then as an outsider who's never come to Texas, then what are the things that you've heard about Texas, and how is it different or similar to what it is that you've heard about Texas?
It's another thing that we were chatting on the way here. I think a lot of people tend to think that Texas is a John Wayne movie, you know, with the tumbleweeds and everything going across. The thing that I realize, and this is very much relevant for Texas, but it's kind of the states in general, is just when you travel, and especially if you travel on a bus, on a coach, going from venue to venue, it suddenly makes sense just how vast America is, and how, you know, like, coming from such a small place in the UK, having to travel 4 hours would get you from one side to the other. Like, it's going from one city to the other here, and it's, you know, it's such a broad, expansive country. And yeah, Texas is... it's been amazing. We were in Washington, D.C. for 6 weeks before heading down here, and at the Kennedy Center, and that was amazing. And we were all so wrapped up in that, and I'll be honest, I was personally just like, oh yeah, we're going to Dallas next week. And coming up down here, the audiences have been incredible. I think a lot of people were just intrigued to see how the show was going to go down here. It's been an honor to kind of premiere the show down here, the first time it's been down south. But the audiences have been amazing. I think the people... personally, I think Texas has had the most sort of lovely people. They're so welcoming and really interested in what you've got to say when they have a conversation with you. You know, the people we meet at stage door, anyone we meet, even whether it be people at a market or a supermarket or in the local Starbucks, everyone is so genuinely interested in talking to you. And I think that is really, really lovely. And it's kind of, yeah, I don't know whether that is how you consider it to be, but as a visitor, I think it's probably good for you to hear that, you know, a lot of us have said, wow, the people here are really friendly, and it makes a difference when you're so far away from friends and family. We feel very welcomed. So thank you on behalf of everyone in the Book of Mormon.
You're welcome, and thank you for your artistry, Mark Evans. I appreciate it.
Thank you.